You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another quick and down and dirty podcast from Ask Drone You. Today we're talking about, what about sports TFRs? Have you had any, well, success in flying in them? Well, it looks like Vic did, and there's a great story on that, but we've got a great and very important question to answer. And I will say recently, I had to learn this one the old-fashioned way, Rob. So
I actually had
an experience with this one myself, and excited to kind of to talk about this.
Yeah, for sure. It's a very interesting question, and I know a lot of people would love to fly these kinds of events, but it's going to be tough.
It is going to
be tough. Let's listen to the question.
Hi, Paul. Say, have you had any experience getting FAA authorizations to fly in a sporting event TFR area? A client needs to fly just inside 3 nautical miles. Awkward situation. I would think this is a problem for many pilots in urban areas. Thanks.
Yeah, so thank you for the question, number one, Phil. Appreciate it. And if you have a question, go to askadroneu.com, just like Phil did, and take a few seconds to send that in. We'd love to hear from you. Now, TFRs are temporary.
They are.
So when he says he's got a client, I'm curious, if couldn't they just wait till the TFR is lifted?
Typically, yes.
In that scenario, it seems like that's the easy
thing to
do.
Maybe the client wants a particular photo, like if there's a game going on.
Yeah.
And they want their building shown with the stadium in the background and, rah, I'm awesome.
Right. Or if it is the actual event itself, then can't the event organizer or the person in charge of the stadium or whatever, can't they give permission?
So that's actually a very important point because, for example, the Balloon Fiesta is another TFR. And over the last 2 years, I've been trying to gain access to fly the TFR. And, you know, it's always funny, man. Nepotism is really, really big in this state. It's all about who you know. And I know it's like that in most states. But unfortunately, the nepotism has almost cost some very serious accidents. And it's really questionable about whether we should utilize nepotism to allow people to fly or if we should have some sort of systematic means to gain an authorization to fly in a TFR. Because the FAA is not fooling anyone about access to TFR when they send out emails like they did at Hurricane Harvey or in just Hurricane Dorian, you know, talking about if you are with some sort of government agency, we can do an SGI really quick and give you TFR access, right? Like, we know it's possible to get it very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Albeit, it's very interesting, and I had to learn this the hard way with some sporting events and with some event organizers. They actually have the first and final say to allow or disallow the TFR exemption. Now, being that this is the second or third year that I've applied to fly in Balloon Fiesta, I'm getting this constant, no. So this year, I threw in a little trick. I threw in 2 legal operations just to see if the event organizer was paying attention, and he wasn't. And now I have that evidence to come back and go to FAA at the national level and say, how do we expect to have safe skies if people aren't really reviewing everything? But with the intention of saying something like, shouldn't we have some sort of systematic means to allow a drone pilot under certain circumstances to fly within a TFR? Because there are circumstances that are totally 100% acceptable. The only issue is that now you're dealing with someone who's an event coordinator, not necessarily a government official.
Mm-hmm.
You're not really sure the level of education that they have. And I know this is an issue that the FAA is dealing with because it's very simple, Rob. If all these event organizers and all these different people keep telling drone pilots, no, with no reason, no formula to say, if you did this, and this, we would let you fly.
Yeah.
You are creating a level of disdain with pilots where they're just going to ignore what
they're
you
just
say.
Gonna fly. Yeah.
And I mean, that was clear as a whistle last year with 400 flights at Balloon Fiesta.
And that was monitored, right?
That was monitored, yeah.
Yeah, so we know that for sure.
So, you know, and this is something I'm working with FAA National on to say, you know, we really have to work on creating some sort of guidelines or systems to allow for safe legal flights. Because if you have pilots who keep trying to go for safe legal flights and they keep getting denied, people are just going to start ignoring you.
Well, and in your case, the request that you put in, it was not to fly the event itself. It was to do a training that's a fair distance away.
2.87
right on
miles.
Right on the edge of the TFR, mm-hmm. right?
Yes. I did also ask for media shots.
Fine, but it was all denied, even the stuff that's not having
and,
to
and
do
it was funny because
that.
He was like, I can't allow these trainings to go on. And I'm like, did you read my operational request? Because that training was one of seven requests.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, you know what, Rob? I don't want to threaten our relationship with the FAA or local officials, but I also cannot be afraid to showcase that there is no system in place that these egregious and erroneous, lack of foresight, lack of follow through, lack of comprehensive nature. It's very simple. One calibrated, open-ended question. Very simple. How can we expect this guy who's supposedly supposed to be the air boss for Balloon Fiesta, and yet he couldn't read an airspace map to showcase where a legal versus non-legal flight was? That gives me a lot of fear, because how can we expect that person to adequately run the airspace? We can't. Very simple. Now,
well,
that being
yeah.
said, let's get back to the topic here at hand. I had to learn a very hard lesson there. What is that hard lesson? That the FAA is not really controlling the TFRs. They're implementing them. But with sports venues, with certain venues, the event venue has right of refusal.
Yeah,
right?
And so that's actually the question. So can you even submit an authorization request to the FAA, or will they just defer that to the organization?
They defer that to the organization, okay. Which is actually really interesting because Vic, just mm-hmm. recently flew Broncos Stadium.
Go read that article. It's really interesting.
Actually, I would recommend every single person, if you really want to know what you're up against to get an exemption to fly in a TFR, you need to read Vic's article because it was very interesting too. The FBI actually responded to Vic's flight. And Vic was not in a TFR.
No.
There was no TFR.
He was very legal.
He was 100% legal. But the issue is, and this again showcases the problem at hand, which is if we don't have a system to allow safe and legal operators to do these things, the problems are going to exacerbate. And the proof is in the pudding in Vic's article, because the FBI agent said, look, you're one of, let's just say, 10 people who I've approached flying a drone around a stadium. And you're one of 10 who has a registered drone, and you're one of 10 who knows the airspace, you're one of 10 that knows exactly what you should be doing to fly, and you're one of 10 to actually understand how to fly at night. And you have all your paperwork in one seamless folder, and like, this is really awesome.
Yeah.
So,
but clearly the FBI agent was not used to that.
No, and that was shocking.
He came pretty aggressively at Vic.
Yeah, and Vic talks about that in the article. I may or may not have deleted a sentence about that in the article. Because again, I want to respect these LEOs. I want to respect what's going on because there are processes that make it difficult on individual people.
Sure.
We've talked about this with law enforcement as well. It's kind of like this being pulled at both ends, and that's why I kind of feel bad for a lot of LEOs out there.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
With that said, let's answer the question. The NFL, if let's say you're flying a sporting event and it's football, the NFL is actually going to be in charge of your ability to get the exemption, but then that would go to the FAA, who would actually go into, they would write you the actual exemption to the TFR. So,
gotcha.
It's a very lengthy process. I know some people have been successful, and I greatly appreciate those event coordinators who have been considerate enough to really say, look, okay, I understand that we probably can have some sort of safe operation. And if you are visible, if you have security with you, one of our employees mm-hmm. from the stadium there to verify that you're operating safely, you know, security is there. There's a way to do it legally. And there's definitely a way to do it safely when we've got NTSB agents flying drones off the edge of a runway all day long and they're not causing a problem. So is safety really an issue? And it's not. No. I mean, that, you know, people have been arguing that back and forth, but
it's a couple things.
The proof is in the pudding. Show me the data.
It is. But I think it's a couple things. It's control. And it's, if I let you, I have to let everybody, which isn't true.
I hate that.
I know you do.
I hate that.
I know you do.
Oh my gosh.
That's why I had to bring it up.
Sorry. It really gets under my skin because it's like, those people who have that sort of ideology should not be in a position of power, period.
Yeah,
because well, look, everyone's different. Every circumstance is different. And you could probably figure out a very smart way to vet who's going to be a decent and safe pilot and who's not. And, you know, we all see your laziness in the fact that you don't want to research that or figure it out or come up with some solution. Again, this is something that the FAA at the top, they are very aware of this problem.
Yeah.
They are very aware of it and they are working on it. And I know because I got so fired up about Balloon Fiesta. I made a phone call and I was like, I need to talk to you right now because I'm ready to roast this guy. I have all the evidence I need and I don't want to burn any bridges. Yeah. Let's talk. And you know what? Luckily, I didn't burn any bridges, but I also didn't release that information because at the end of the day, what is your goal? My goal is to one day legally fly safely around Balloon Fiesta. So I will say in 2012, that may or may not have happened because TFRs didn't have unmanned systems on them anyway. But now we live in a world where they are on every TFR, so you're not getting around that. Now, with that said, Rob, I'm really excited for the day when there is a mutual respect in the aviation community for drone pilots and everyone else as pilots, because I think that there are some attitudes and I think that the FAA itself and the leadership teams are displaying these attitudes. You know, they think of a Part 107 pilot as a guy who buys a drone from Best Buy and starts going out. In my eyes, that's not a Part 107 pilot. That's just a hobbyist who's a photographer that doesn't want to comply with the law and thinks they can do whatever they want. In my eyes, those are two separate entities. And I think that the FAA needs to have, you know, an attitude. And I think it really has in the last year at the symposium. This was really showcased it. We're here to work together. Let's create these systems. Sure. Let's work together. Let's figure this out. Technology moves really fast. And in order for us to all benefit as a whole, we need to work together.
We need to work together, and we on this side of the aisle, so to speak, need to understand that their first priority is safe skies.
Yeah.
And I believe that is their motivation, and so they're being careful.
And rightfully so that they're being careful, but you know what, Rob? We've had drones around since 2011 now. There's only been one serious crash, and you know, it's time that we call a spade a spade. Yeah, Are they really as dangerous as we think? Obviously, the wrong person with the wrong tool is going to be very dangerous, and that's why these TFRs are in place. We get that.
Right.
But we should also be able to reward people who are willing to go out of their way to be extremely safe and ensure that they're doing everything right.
Agreed.
That's just my thought. So, and you know, with that said, I just have to say I'm so grateful for the FAA national stance, you know, on a collaborative effort to solve these problems together, because that was not the attitude a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to give it to the UAS Integration Office. You have to give it to the UAS Administrator, Dan Yule, the whole ATO team, like everyone. They are busting their asses to make it better for drone pilots. And I can say that because I have seen it happen.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people that we should be grateful for that are trying to make the skies not only safe for everyone, but accessible as well.
Yeah, and with what we're talking about, they're swimming upstream a little bit, right?
If the technology is the river, then they are swimming upstream without a paddle because it's moving real fast.
Exactly.
So,
and a lot more drones are being sold every day, and so the skies will continue to be filled with more and more drones over time. And so there's a lot to deal with.
So just to quickly recap for our question asker, you have to go through the event coordinator first. And I would highly recommend that you are as detailed as possible about your planned operation or what you're requesting for. Who's your client? What are you shooting? What's the takeoff area, the GPS location? What's the radius that you want to fly from that location? What's the maximum altitude? What are your, You have to think this really, really, really through. Where are you going to dump the drone in an emergency? How are you going to ensure you don't fly over anyone? How are you going to ensure that the drone is still visible so that people can keep an eye on it, like security? How are you going to mitigate potential risks and hazards? You've got to be as specific as possible. Because when you provide that specificity, it showcases that you really thought this out. You need to talk about your visual observer. You need to talk about as many factors as possible. I mean, even down to, you know, what are your rules about takeoffs and landings? You know, this is why we have our rules of takeoff and landings, because, you know, any noob who flies the drone in, you know, super close to the takeoff team when the drone is facing them, that is not a pilot I trust. That is not a pilot that I think is safe. I want to see that bird turned around so that the bird and the pilot have the same orientation so that we can mitigate, you know, 90% of close to the ground crashes. So,
yeah.
Anyway, all you got to be detailed. And again, you know, to the FAA, to Balloon Fiesta, to the NFL, there are people who are willing to go above and beyond to do the right thing. And I'm asking you from the bottom of my heart and for the benefit of the community as a whole, that you need to provide some sort of means to let those people fly. Otherwise, I believe this problem will only exacerbate. And again, the proof is in the pudding. Please go read Vic's article. I'm done.
That is going to do it for us.
Hopefully I didn't ruin any relationships, because I really want the best for everyone. I really am about safety. I really am about doing it right.
I think that's become very, very clear. I don't think anybody questions that at all. So we've got to be honest to grow, right?
We do.
We've got to be honest about the environment that we're all working in, and also give, again, back to last episode, everybody the benefit of the doubt for the most part, that we're all seeking the same goal.
I think we are, yeah. But we also have to all be willing to participate for the benefit of the community as a whole. That
Absolutely.
Means manned pilots, unmanned pilots, balloon pilots, moored pilots, whatever you want to call them, we all got to work together. Otherwise, bad things are going to happen.
Indeed.
Anyway,
Indeed.
I really hope that we didn't ruffle any feathers here, because I think that if someone listens to this through and through and not just takes something out of context, they'll understand that I think we really are trying to build an environment that is comprehensively safe.
Absolutely.
So anyway,
Absolutely.
I'm off my whatever I'm on pedestal.
Thank All you, right. Phil. We again appreciate you taking the time to send your question. Go to astronew.com if you have a question. And please, if you've gotten value from this episode or from any of our episodes, we would sincerely appreciate you leaving us a review wherever you listen. It doesn't matter. And if you would like to subscribe, that would be awesome as well. And one of the most important things you can do to help this show is tell your friends about it. We appreciate it more than you'll ever know.
We sure do. Thanks again for listening or watching, whatever you do. That's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
My name is Rob.
This is Ask Drone You.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.